Psalm 1 and 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight," somebody say delight,
"delight,
is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit." Somebody say his fruit. "In his season." Somebody say it's my season.
My season.
"His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And that's the word of the Lord right there. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Somebody say, "That's me."
"That's me."
"But the way of the ungodly shall perish." I want to talk tonight on this thought, the posture or the stance of the blessed. The posture or the stance of the blessed. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I do want to remind Revival Tabernacle of something, because it is of important to me, and something that I like to keep myself accountable to. But I made a commitment some time back, almost 4 years ago, I should say, that we'll come in on Wednesday nights, we'll have good prayer, we'll sing two songs, we'll have good worship, and I'll do my best to get us out and be done preaching by 8:35-ish, and so that we can respect and be good stewards of our time. And I appreciate you all coming tonight to worship the Lord, but I just want us to know that I know school's back in session, and so I'm going to do my very best to teach, and so sometimes the series I may not finish, so we'll just kind of continue on. But how many want to grow in the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
And so let's get to it. So the posture or the stance of the blessed, the psalmist is writing and telling us about the blessed. The blessed are those that are fortunate. They're the saved. They're those that are rewarded. The blessed are the contented, those that are living a life of spiritual joy. Your posture is your positioning. It's the condition or the state as of affairs. It's the mental or spiritual attitude. It's like what we would maybe even reference to position. It's our status. So the status of the blessed, or the positioning of the blessed. This first psalm serves as the gateway to the entire book of Psalm. It stresses to us that there's the word of the Lord, there's covenants, there's statutes, and that we need to follow the instruction of the word of the Lord. I can remember as a kid, my grandmother, on my mother's side, she had always been in great physical shape. She was a runner, she's still alive, and she had worked in the computer in the tech age. In fact, I'm telling you more than probably intended to, but she worked for Intel when Intel was only 5 years old. So she retired really early, and she did well for herself. I thank the Lord for that, because it helped me get through college. And just the blessings of the Lord. But she would tell me, she was very adamant, Sister Martinez, about sit up straight, walk with your shoulders back, don't hunch over. You're going to be like Quasimodo, you know. Don't read with the light off. Wear your seatbelt. She would, you know, save your money. She was, you know, get your elbows off the table. Mm-hmm. That was a big one. Take your hat off at the table. Close the door. We're not paying to cool off the neighborhood. Close the door. clean up your mess. She was always, really, she was trying to help me. Because I was the first grandchild, and I was the only grandchild for the first 5 years. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. And so I was the favored one. I still am. And the only grandchildren on both sides. I was the only one on both sides for the first 5 years of my life. And But no slouching. And so as I grew older, and got into college, I realized, Sister Rivas, how brilliant my grandmother was. Because my health teacher began to talk about posture and how important posture was to your sleep and your sitting and your energy level and avoiding headaches and your back and your neck, and having good posture affected your life in more ways than you would even begin to realize. And that's a lot of ways what the scripture setting is telling us is, when we look at people that are blessed or we want to be blessed, we got to understand that there is a positioning or a posture of the blessed. There's characteristics of the blessed. People that are blessed, people that are walking down the path of being blessed, and those of you that I know, we say we're all blessed, but there's levels of blessings that God wants to take each of us. And so the psalmist is telling us that that the Christians and the sinners, they walk down a different pathway. And just because, in fact, another psalm will tell us that is when he began to look at the prosperity of the wicked, he almost slipped, he almost quit, he almost gave up until he went into the sanctuary. And then he understood therein that they may have some tangible blessings today, but those tangible blessings are going to burn up someday. But what the blessings that we have isn't always something that we can wear or we could drive or that we could count. But the blessings we have is knowing that we have life and life more abundantly. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so when the scripture says that the righteous are blessed, or the blessings of the godly, that the blessings of the man that walketh down the path of righteousness is not the one of the ungodly or the scoffer or the mocker or the way of the sinner, but it's that we are deliberately walking or positioning ourselves to be blessed. If you notice the scripture setting, there's a regression of what's taken place. A regression is a return to a former or less developed state. Now, the first point I want to make tonight is, who is influencing us? There ought to be a progression. Somebody say progression. There ought to be a progression with our walk with God. The process of developing or moving gradually, notice this, towards a more advanced state. It would be very humorous today, and if I could only crawl, right? Because nobody taught me how to walk, right? It would be comical to say, well, Pastor Panero, he just crawls. That's how he gets around. But we got to understand that there is a progression with our walk with God. That when you come into the church, you there is the new birth, but there's also what we would call, there's a growth process. And so as it is as a toddler, or as an infant, or even as an adolescent, there's a growth process. There's a reason why we don't give a 10-year-old a license and give them a car and car keys and say, okay, you're on your own. There's a progression that takes place. There's a reason why you have to be a certain age to buy things or to go places or to be involved in certain things, is because there's a progression. And there ought to be a progression with our walk with God. We should not be crawling in our entire Christian walk. We should not be having someone have to carry us like a baby and hold us everywhere we go. But there ought to be a development with us when with our walk with God. It's not about the length of time that you've been in the church, because there's people that have been in the church for 30 years and the only time they spoke in tongues is the day they got the Holy Ghost, and every time they turn around they're crying and complaining and they're stubbing their toe, but they've been in the church 30 years. But then there's folks that have been in the church 1 or 2 years and they're on fire for God, and they're winning souls, and they're discipling others, and they're growing with the Lord. You can see it internally, and you can see it externally, and they are walking down the path of being a blessing. So who's influencing us? We find ourselves influenced from so many directions. In this age of social media, there's a plethora of negative influences demanding our attention. Yeah. And what influences us is under our control to a large degree. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who's influencing you? Is it God? Is it man? Is it the news? society? Fads? Is it trends? Popular opinion? Is it your boss? How about this? Is it your feelings? God help us to stay influenced and enamored with His Word. Notice what the Scripture tells us in James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Notice this. The engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. That means that the Word of God is engrafted. It's intermingled. It's intertwined. Kind of, it's in your DNA. When we walk and the advice we take affects our posture spiritually and can determine if we're blessed or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. You can be walking down the right path, but be going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Have you ever been on the right road, but gone the wrong way? Right? Have you ever gone to 105 Broadway and ended up at the Boot Barn instead of 105 South Broadway Street? 1 Corinthians 15:32 says, or 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. The Apostle Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Scripture's telling us to not heed the advice of the ungodly for spiritual decisions. Think about that. Because the ungodly is going to give you a perspective that's morally wrong. And the ungodly is going to tell you, it's okay to not love your neighbor. You have a reason to get even with them. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Doesn't say it's okay if it's your mother-in-law. It says unto any man. But ever follow that which is good. Somebody say good. Both among yourselves and to all men. The ungodly is going to tell you, well, they don't deserve your love. They never apologize. It's okay to hold a grudge. But the Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, Jesus is actually saying this, love your enemies. Tell your neighbor, I love you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Tell your neighbor, no haters. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And that's what the Bible says. The ungodly will tell you it's your life. Do as you please. Live how you want. If it feels good, do it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm talking about having a stance or positioning ourselves to be blessed. How many want to be blessed?
Amen.
How many are blessed? How many want to stay blessed?
Amen.
How many want more blessings?
Amen.
Scripture says in Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. It's powerful. In fact, this is what Jesus said about Nathanael, a man who hath no guile. What if the Lord said that about us? What an honor. What a privilege. Scripture says in Psalm 106:3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness on Sundays. Right? Blessed is he that doeth righteousness just a couple days a week. Only when you're at church, right?
At all times.
Right standing at all times. Notice this. The path that does not heed or walk in the counsel of the ungodly is going to be blessed. We should not be seeking spiritual guidance from those that are not serving the Lord.
Right, that's right.
Come on, somebody.
That's right.
The ungodly will tell you, look at me. See, I don't go to church. I don't pray. I don't dress holy. I sleep around. I don't pay my tithes. I believe there's a God. I just live my life and God knows my heart. I'm okay. I don't hurt nobody. I buy Girl Scout cookies. That's the attitude of the ungodly. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 9, fools make a mock of sin. But among the righteous, somebody say that's me. There's favor. There's favor. There's favor. Favor's not always fair. But that's the positioning of the blessed. You say, it's not fair, but it's called being blessed. You call it good luck. I call it being blessed. You call it, well, it's nepotism. Nah, it is nepotism. It's because I'm a king's child and he takes care of me. Call it what you want. I like to call it being blessed. Romans 14 and 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee's going to bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Not confessing to man. Every tongue will confess to God. So notice this. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Somebody say blessed. We need to ensure that we're heeding the word of God and we're heeding from the people of God. Proverbs 4 and 14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not into the way of evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Notice this. Turn from it and pass away. Notice in the scripture setting, leave that up there real quick, Sister Savannah. In Psalms 1, it says, he walketh with the ungodly or the sinners, or he sitteth with the scoffers or the mockers. This is telling us to avoid it. Don't even go by it. Turn from it. Pass away. We ought to do everything we can to avoid sin. We need to do everything we can to not be enticed by sin. We got to do everything we can to not get caught up in the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of sin. To stay blessed, it's intentional. To position yourself to be blessed, it's intentional. It's not by accident. It takes action. It takes work. It takes effort. It's gonna take work and effort to get to heaven. It's gonna take work and effort to stay blessed.
Amen.
Second point is, stand up for what's right. Yeah. Notice what the scripture says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. You notice the regression of this man, the man that is not blessed. First, he's walking to the counsel of the ungodly, and then he stops and he starts standing in the way of the sinners. The statement of standing in the way of the sinners is this person that's not blessed. It's their stance. Your stance is the position of your body or your spiritual mindset. I'm going to ask you this rhetorical. What are your spiritual stances or position to what you tolerate, get involved with, allow, or listen to? Now, you say, well, Pastor, we're in the house of God. So what do we do with what we learned tonight or what we're reminded of or what's stirring in our spirit? What are we going to do between now and Sunday? What changes? What adjustments? How are we going to stand for what's right? The sinner takes his stance in the way that sinners do. We're not sinners.
No.
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 We're not sinners. We're saved by grace. And hear this. We are not just any old Christian either.
No.
We're Holy Ghost filled. Baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. And we are called to walk in power and authority and dominion. Romans 1 and 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm glad that I have the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm glad that our sins have been washed away. But we need to stand for something.
Yeah.
We're not a punching bag for sin, and we're not a punching bag for the world. Neither are we a punching bag for whomever or whatever wants to say, well, this is just the way it is. You love me how I am. I'm coming over, and this is just the way it is. No, you're not coming over and bringing that garbage into my house. And by the way, I'll send you my gift because I'm not going over, and I'm not exposing myself for my family to the nonsense that's over there. I love you from afar, but you know what? I'm not going to allow you to invade the Holy Ghost that's within me. I want a clean hands and I want a pure heart.
Yeah.
Notice this, 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's what we've got. The power of God. This is a matter of a deliberate choice. It's what it is. You know that choice is one of the greatest powers that we have in our lives? The choice. We get to choose a lot of things throughout the day. The sinner takes his stance on refusing to love his neighbor and instead puts his desires or self first. The sinner doesn't see a problem with sin. So many times they just keep on sinning and it gets, and it's a regression. And actually it's a progression in many cases because it just gets worse, right? Lust, when it's conceived, bring it forth death, and death when it is done, or bring it forth sin, right? Or sin when it's done, bring it forth death. Notice this in Romans 6:23. Sin has always paid the same.
Yep.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you would like a raise? Nobody? Mr. Megan? Look at her. But death plus death equals what?
Death.
Still death. Even if sin said, I'm going to pay you 100-fold, it's still death. Still pays the same. But if the Lord says, I'm going to pay you 100-fold, yeah, that's something to rejoice about.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to get excited about. That's something you could take to the bank in cash and stand in line all day and smile and say, go ahead, because I know what I got in my hand. It's 100-fold blessing. That's the blessings of those that walk in the counsel of righteousness.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. That ought to be encouragement enough for us to stay righteous, that the eyes of the Lord are over us. And he hears our prayers. Notice this. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The blessed understand this principle. They understand Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We need to ensure that we're not standing around or lingering in the way of the sinners and taking advice for spiritual things from sinners. Because a sinner is going to produce the fruit of their effort and their labor. And sin produces sin. So why would you want to go to someone that's not living the Lord and get spiritual advice? Well, do you think I ought to pray today? No, you ought to pray today. You ought to go to the club with me is what you ought to do, girl. Man, it's Friday night. Do I think I ought to bring my kids to the kids rally? Nah, man, you need to leave them at home with your husband and come out with me. But the blessed would say, yeah, you need to take your kids down to the kids rally so they can be blessed and you can be blessed and they can draw closer to God, and you can draw closer to God. How are we positioning ourselves to stay blessed? Notice this. I don't cuss, and I don't take the Lord's name in vain. And I'm not going to stand around and engage in a conversation with someone that is doing that.
Yeah.
I have been known to just say, look, this conversation's over. What's going on? Why are you talking in a way that's offensive to me? Well, sorry. We can have this appointment another time.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken a stance for some things.
Yeah.
I don't want those thoughts or comments or conversation to get in my mind. Because once it gets in there, it's kind of hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Somebody say my mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Have you ever overheard a conversation or comments and be like, oh man, why did I hear that? Oh. Did you ever overhear a conversation and you're like, praise God. Yeah, I'm glad I heard that. I needed to hear that. That's good news. But notice this. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to highlight or circle this scripture in your Bible. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? The evidence of speaking other tongues. Okay, this applies to us. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't do a word search. Type in grieve in your dictionary. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See the blessed, they understand this. Positioning yourself to be blessed, understand this. They listen. It's the posture of the blessed that understands the principle is to ensure that I do not walk, stand, or sit in the places around people or things that will be in direct conflict of me being in position to being blessed. You ever hear the term guilty by association? Yeah. It applies to being blessed as well. Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We cannot consume garbage and trash and expect to be spiritually healthy and then expect God to bless us. It doesn't work that way. Neither can we consume negativity, ungodliness, wickedness, and that not affect us. Mm-hmm. It's like the psalmist says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's not just at night before you go to bed. It's not just in the morning when you wake up. It's day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season or in the season of harvest. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Have you ever noticed a correlation between people that are blessed? They just keep being blessed and staying blessed. Just like the guy that just keeps giving, right? It just seems like it just keeps coming back to him. At whatever measure you give, it's gonna come back to you. And I want to make sure that we that I nail this down. But the blessings are not always materialism. Just think about that. That's not always, blessing is not always materialism. We joke about it, and I personally think it is a blessing in the favor of God, but I very seldom do I have to look for a parking. I just roll up and park. Boom. We went somewhere the other day out of town, and front row parking at this big old museum. It's just like right in the front. Boom. And Sister Pinero says, that's just the parking blessing. It's like, I go to Costco. You can go with me. And Saturday, Brother Andrew, I park wherever I want. I'm calling it like it is because I've recognized that that's just what the psalmist says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. I believe it's just one of those benefits. The Lord says, you know what? I'm going to take care of the pastor of Revival Tabernacle. I'm going to make sure he gets the good parking spots because the Lord knows I want the good parking spots. The Lord knows you want the good parking spots. The Lord knows the things, what you need and what you want. He takes care of your people. But I have to make sure that I'm positioning myself spiritually to stay blessed. And I'm keeping my minds and my heart pure and clean before the Lord.
Amen.
Last point is delighting in his law. Do we or are we delighting in his law? Notice this. Psalm 19:7 says the law of the Lord is perfect. Does anybody know any perfect people? Right? No? Nobody? All right. The law of the Lord is perfect though, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, it's having pleasure, it's obeying, and it's doing it for the right reason. It's called trusting God. It's staying in spiritual alignment. Notice this. Did anybody get up this morning and wonder if the sun was going to shine? Is anybody here stressed out right now and saying when we walk out these doors in the next 15 minutes that the moon's going to be there or not be there? It's called trust and faithfulness. Even if we're not faithful, he remains faithful. He's pumping blood in our veins right now. The breath that we just took is coming from Him. Shouldn't we trust His Word and delight ourselves in it?
Yes.
Shouldn't we? I mean, if He's God enough to cause the sun to rise, right? Has anybody ever look at your blood and say, "Well, I need more blood"? No, you just, "Oh, I need more oxygen," right? The Lord takes care of His people.
Right.
Just position yourself to be in alignment with Him. To position yourself to trust Him to be blessed and to stay blessed. Proverbs 3:1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Notice this, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them on thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God." I like this part. And man. You can have favor with man and with God. It's powerful. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. And in a few of the things of decisions of your day, in all thy way, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So notice this. Some here tonight may have gotten out of spiritual alignment with your spiritual posture. You've been walking or living for the Lord crooked. Anybody ever throw your back out? Oh yeah. Some of us are living for God like you've thrown out your back physically. You're not happy. You're grumpy and you're grouchy spiritually. Right? Every time you move, it hurts. Yeah. Sin will wear you out.
It will.
You're in some spiritual pain. It seems like every message is for you. You feel like you're cursed. Well, you probably are cursed. Break the curse. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Go to that person that you know you did wrong and tell them, "Will you forgive me?" Ask them for forgiveness. Open up that pocketbook. That's another way to allow the blessed. We are more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Sometimes we rely on ourselves and that only takes us so far. And then we find ourselves isolating ourselves from the presence of the Lord and the people of God. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe your finances are taking a beating. It seems like everything you touch dries up. It's time to position yourself again at an altar.
Yeah.
Sit at His feet.
Yeah.
Lay down at His table and say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. I want to stand in Your presence, O God." As the psalmist says in Psalm 16:11, "In Thy presence is fullness of joy. And at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." We want to walk in God's favor. Notice Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We got to sit at the feet of the Lord. Psalm 119:10 tells us, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Are we seeking Him with half a heart? Are we even seeking Him with our heart, or is it just with lip service? Let me ask you, is the routine of our day consisting of personal devotion and delight of the law of the Lord? Is that part of our routine, like eating? Sister Ellen would come. I want you to, this is very powerful right here. You got to get this. I shared this with my Firm Foundation class this month. I have that class of six that I spend time with. And Joshua 1:8 tells us, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Notice the correlation. "That thou mayest observe to do." Somebody say, "Be a doer."
Be a doer.
According to all that is written. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." So it's us that has to do these things. It takes spiritual discipline, right? And your way is going to be prosperous. "Then thou shalt have good success. It doesn't just say success. It says good success. You know that in the entire Bible, this is the only time that the word success is mentioned. In the entire Bible, the word success. Look it up for yourself. In the King James Version, the Bible that pastor preaches and teaches out of, that's the only time you read that the word success, that word itself, being in the Bible. You notice that it's there for a reason, that if the book of the law doesn't depart out of your mouth, but you meditate on it, and you observe it, and you do what it says, you're going to be prosperous and have good success. The blessed understand that. That was to a generation that was in the promised land. That this was written and given to a generation that was blessed. This is the generation that the scripture says, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build, wells you didn't have to drink, you didn't have to dig, land flowing with milk and honey. This was the blessed. If there was ever a generation or a people that were blessed, it was that generation, the Joshua generation. We are a prophetic people. We're a blessed people. Joshua 1 and 8 still rings loud and clear today more than ever before. You want to know how to get your answers to your prayers answered as we stand? You want to know how to stay blessed? You want to know how to grow in the Lord? Anybody interested in being anointed? You got some things you need God to work out? Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Notice this. Trust also in Him. Oh. He'll bring it to pass.
Yeah.
Are we doing it? How many want to do it?
Amen.
How are we going to try hard to do it?
Amen.
How many love the Lord?
Amen.
How many want to be blessed?
Yeah.
Stay blessed.
Yeah.
The altars are open. Would you come and talk to the Lord? Would we find a place to pray tonight? As Sister Ellen blesses us with song. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.
Let it rain.
Oh, somebody... ask the Lord to let it rain on you.
Open the gates of heaven.
You turn her up a little bit, Brother Barry.
Let it rain.
Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.
Let it rain.
Oh, rain the blessings on your children tonight, oh God.
Open up the gates of
heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed church, you're a blessed people.
Open,
but there's more.
The gates of heaven.
Somebody lift your voice,
lift
your hands, and talk to the Lord tonight. Come on, let's take the next 7 minutes or so. Let's have a unified effort, a unison of prayer.
Open up the gates of heaven.
Thank you for your love, God.
Let
I'm going to delight myself in your word, God. I crave, God,
the
spiritual milk of your word, God. I crave your presence. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me, oh God. I'm positioning myself in prayer. I'm going to position myself with Bible reading. I'm going to position myself with faithfulness. I'm going to position myself, God, to avoid evil and filthy communication, God. I'm going to position myself to make sure I got clean hands and a pure heart. I'm going to delight myself in you, God, and you're going to give me the desires of my heart, God, according to your will, God. Pray tonight, Lord. I ask you, God, for the power of the Holy Ghost, God, as you order my steps, God. I'm going to follow your statutes, God.